Welcome to another episode of the Finding Strong Podcast. I'm Coach Mark Bottenhorn, and I'm joined by ultra endurance athlete, my friend, my training partner, Arthur Blue. And our episodes touch on a variety of topics, including performance, fitness, nutrition, and mental health, as well as mindset. If you're here, we're happy you're here. We're happy that you found us. Now let's dive in to this week's episode. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another strong session. I'm Mark Bottenhorn, and I'm sitting alongside Arthur Blue. Arthur, what's going on, dude?
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Doing pretty well. Just got back from San Antonio and about to get this training session in here once we hop off of this. How's everything going with you?
Good, man. Hitting it hard this week. Just finished. Had a good run this morning. The humidity is thick, though, bro. It was pretty thick and pretty nasty out there, but you know, no excuses. Still got to get it in.
Yeah, it's that time of year. I was in San Antonio running yesterday morning on the trails, and it felt like I was in the jungle or a rainforest or something. It was dreadful. It was 99% humidity, and the dew point was like 75. So it was soupy out there for sure, and that actually impacted my perceived exertion on the run. Like I at times I was running like, you know, 850s on the trail for the first part of it. And it felt like I was probably running like 730 pace. And I didn't realize. So I was like, wow. I looked at my watch initially and said, man, this is what's going on with me. And then I'm realizing the humidity and the conditions made it really tough. It's that time of year in Dallas, dude. So we're just going to have to cope with it and use that to our advantage in some ways. And that kind of gets us into what we're actually going to be talking about today. So we're actually going to be talking about a lesson that I had on the run and talk about some perseverance through it. So, Arthur, as you know, last Friday, I ran 9.5 miles in the morning and then did a second session at night with some strength stuff, and then drove to Austin and arrived there around 11 o'clock at night. I got up from my hotel. I always say the same hotel because I'm a creature of habit and I like to have this routine, and this hotel has a bunch of crushed gravel around it. So I'm very familiar with the area. It's got an HEB so I can get the stuff I need while I'm on work trips rather than go to like restaurants and eat bad and stuff like that. So I went out for my familiar run in the morning and I plan to do 60 to 70 miles. And I had trouble getting moving in the morning. Every single part of my legs felt like they were on fire. They ached. It just felt terrible. Like it felt crunchy to run. And I stepped out of the stairwell and started jogging. I said, oh, I feel terrible. And then I was immediately met with between 25 and 30 mile an hour winds. And I was like, oh, it's a gusty, humid day. It's about to start raining. Doesn't feel good. And I was like, well, you know what, like maybe this isn't it. So maybe I'll just get back in the hotel and I'll do it later. And I thought more about it. And usually when we say we'll do something later, it comes with a lot of complications, or it doesn't get done. And so I said, all right, I'm just going to keep moving forward and see what happens. Because this training program and these races are very important to me, and improving my fitness and getting back to full strength is very important to me. So about a quarter mile away, there's this crushed gravel circle. And it's about a half mile long. So I planned to run over to that, and I was running around it, and I saw this guy, and he was kind of run walking, and he would run for like 100 meters and he'd walk for like maybe 100 meters. I don't know. And I got kind of inspired by that, for one, because I felt like this guy's out here on a Saturday morning, giving his all, getting better, becoming a better version of himself. So I should be doing that too. Like that was a catalyst for me. And I said, you know what? Before I decided to cut this run early, I'm going to do 10 laps around around this crushed gravel circle. I'm going to do 10 and see where I'm at. And each lap although I was sore, I started to grow into confidence. You know, I started to feel like I could do this. And then when I got to lap 10, I turned around and I started going the other way and I got 8 more. And then before I knew it, I was running loops through the neighborhood and the hilly parts of the neighborhood, and I completed my whole run and then some. And not only that, but the easy run, keeping it truly easy, gave me the recovery stimulus I needed to feel better the next 2 days. So I started thinking about that and think about how important it is. I think so many times the hardest few steps are the first ones out the door, you know? Mm-hmm. And I thought about what are some, you know, coping tools. Like for me, in one way, I was tricking myself. I was just saying, well, I'm just going to get a couple loops around this. And if I still don't feel good, then I'll cut it and I'll run the rest of the miles later. By doing that self, I didn't give myself an immediate out. And as I got, I think, you know, a lot of statistics say if you get 25% of your run in that day, if you commit to 25% of it, you're probably going to finish the whole thing. Yeah. The overwhelming likelihood is that you will. And that's what happened in that case. So do you have any tools that help you get out the door when things get tough? Because if you want to accomplish, we talk about this all the time, but if you want to accomplish your long-term goals, what you do in the short term is the most important. And you got to take it day by day and mile by mile in some cases. So what do you do when it's either for strength training, for running, whatever it is, to get out the door? Do you have any kind of tips and tactics that you use?
No, I think that's a really good question. What has worked for me is on those days when you can hear the wind banging outside, you know, pushing the trees and stuff around. You can hear the, you know, it sounds like it's going to be a cold, miserable run, or if it's raining, I just do a lap or a loop that I'm familiar with. And that way I know, right? Like, I know if I get to this point, I'm halfway there. I'm a quarter there. I'm pretty much done, right? So it's easier to push through or to not quit on the runs when I'm doing a lap or a loop that I'm familiar with. So that's one way. And then if it's somewhere, like if I'm traveling and just trying to make the best out of a situation, because, you know, you get those travel woes from being stuck in the airport or stuck in the car all day long. And the last thing you want to do, or maybe something that you really want to do, is just get out and run or train. I play those mind games of getting light pole to light pole. Sometimes you have to just break it down to the most simple steps and just say, okay, I'm going to go as hard as I can for the next two light poles. And then I'll jog in between and hit the third light pole and then pick it back up for the fourth one and so on and so forth until you get your run down. And then just take advantage of the sights and being in an unfamiliar place or a different place is another way that has kind of made my training, especially during travel season, which I'm coming up this the back end of April and May, I'll be traveling a lot. So I'm speaking from, you know, speaking into existence of what I'm going to do going forward. And that's just, again, like finding creative ways to keep your mind occupied or off what you're doing when you're running. Run a familiar route, a familiar trail, or, you know, in your neighborhood that you know, hey, if I'm at this stop sign, I'm at least a mile in or at least a mile left to go. So those are some of the things that I do in my training.
All right, good. Yeah, I love that. Those are all really good, I think, coping skills to have kind of in your repertoire to get better. That's perfect. I think that during that time period for me, like, it's not a monumental thing, right? I got out for a 70-minute easy run on a day that I was really sore, but it's those little things that add up to pay big dividends. It's the building the discipline, the habit to do it, you know, and then do it over and over again, and it builds towards your ultimate goal. But also on top of that, it doesn't allow you to quit when things are a little bit hard. Like, I knew that I wasn't in peril. Like, I wasn't physically injured. I was just sore. And we talk about all the time, you have to run when you're sore. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that they have to be, you know, all out quality sessions or speed work. It's usually the easy runs that are hardest to get out for, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so I kept thinking about this during that run, but I adopted the mantra during this run: get better today. If on August 24th, I want to be my best during the race at Habanero, then what I do today is a very important piece of that. So I look at it like that. You know, get 1% better each day into it. So get better today. What are the things that I could do to get better today? Well, I had to check that box today before I could move on to the next one. So sometimes go into it with the attitude. If you need to foam roll, but you don't want to, if you need to do your strength session, but you don't want to, you need to mobility work, you need to run, whatever it is you don't want to, you need to know what it is that day, what box you need to check to get better that day. Because if you get better every day, then that's when everything comes together on race day. And so while it's seemingly insignificant that I ran 70 minutes easy, because I do it every day, this was really important. It was really important for my mental health around the training block, but it was also just a really important piece of the training block. You know, it's probably 0.8% of the total training between now and August 24th, but those all add up. And when you can click those together every day, it's really important. So when you think about, especially when you think about mundane tasks, like going for an easy run, right? And let's say your coach has said, you know, train at less than 75% of your max heart rate for an easy runner, or, you know, whatever it is, what can you do to get better today? Like, what can you do in the short term? Because the goal is a long-term thing, but it requires short-term thinking. Because if you're just thinking about the long-term goal, you never really focus on the short term and you don't execute the way you need to. So like, for example, like, all right, my coach wants me to cap my heart rate at 140, for every easy run. So then, you know, you have a task. Humans are very task oriented. So that day you have a task. And so that could be, okay, I'm not going to let my heart rate go above 140 for this whole run. And then boom, you check it off. You feel better. You get momentum, you build more discipline, you build a better habit. And it was the same thing with going out and grinding in that run. One, our runs, races, events, whatever we're challenged with, it doesn't stop because of the conditions outside. So that's a poor excuse. We've already talked about that. Two, when you're very sore in an ultra marathon, you're sore in a powerlifting meet, you're sore, you know, deep into training, you're sore in the 85th minute of a soccer game, whatever it may be, you're sore in any given week of special forces training, whatever it may be, you got to keep going. And the reality is you have to build that. You have to build that mind muscle connection. Now you have to build that ability to do that. Another thing is like, okay, what can you do to focus on the now? So you want to get 10% more mileage this week than last week. So how can you do that? You know, that's another thing. So it's little things like that, that pay huge dividends. And I think oftentimes we overlook it. So I really, what I wanted to drive home is get better now. Here are some tactics to do it. And I think that you came up with some really good physical tactics of like getting out on the run. And then mentally, like when you talked about the wind banging around, right? I think that that's a sign like, well, I'm going to go out there. The pressure's off. I'm just going to run totally by effort. And it is what it is because the wind's banging around. So go out and make the most of it and prepare yourself for battle in that way, you know?
And I think too, you know, I'm happy you brought up the habanero race that you're doing in August, because on 90% of my runs, no matter if they're easy efforts, hard efforts, if I'm in a gym lifting, I always have every single race that I feel like I could have done better, or thinking about Leadville last year or in Leadville this year. And I think about how I'm going to feel going up Hope's Pass and then turning back around at Mount 50 and going back up that beast of Hope's Pass. And it's going to suck. And nothing can replicate that except for going out and being miserable and now saying, okay, you got to do it all over again for another 50 miles to get back home. And so, you know, as we talk about the weather and the conditions we can't control, I'm trying to, you know, train your mind to think like, this is what I want. So that way on race day, it's just second nature. When everyone else is bitching and complaining about the situation of the weather, the hills, the you name it, you know, the aid station, whatever it is, the headlamp in my case, you're physically ready to freaking execute, and you can do it over and over and over and over and over again until you're done, until someone says stop, until you run out of time. And so like if I'm 10 miles into a run and I know I got to go back another 10 miles to get 20, I know it's going to hurt, but I'm thinking about Leadville and the shit that I'm going to have to go through to climb up that mountain to get back home.
Yeah, I think so. That's amazing. Yeah. Visualization, I think, is so important. Putting yourself in the situation is so important, but it also gives your training in that moment meaning, because it's really easy to look at any single run, any single thing on the calendar as being pretty insignificant when you look at the grand scheme of things. And a lot of times if you have a bad workout, whatever, you miss a run, something happens, life happens. That's okay. But what's not insignificant is the momentum that you build, the mental strength that you build, the physical strength that you build from doing it over and over again. It's another brick in the wall. And that's totally true to visualize putting yourself in a situation. A lot of times, like even on easy runs, like hard workouts, whatever it is, I will visualize myself winning a race, making that final turn off of the trail, coming through an aid station, whatever it is. And that's been successful. I've like quite literally lived that out, and I brought it to fruition through the training. So it's kind of has a symbiotic relationship. When you visualize your race or your event or whatever it is, and you have it in mind, you visualize the execution while you're actually doing it and putting it into practice. I think that's the most important thing. So not overlooking the power of go ahead.
No. And I think even too, like for people who might not be training for a certain race, but they're just training for life, this past weekend, my daughter finally accomplished a goal of being able to ride her bike on her own. And dude, I had to run behind her the entire time because I didn't want her to fall over and I wasn't there close by to help her out. But not just that, but just to show her like I'm there with her, beside her. And I mean, we did, I think we ended up doing 3 miles that entire day, just on a bike, just on a, like a 0.36 mile loop core, at the park. And I mean, I had to run behind her and beside her the entire time. And that's what we trained for at the end of the day, right? Is to be less of a liability, more of an asset to our family, to, so I can do dad things and handle my responsibilities in that regard. Because if I was out of shape, I wouldn't be able to teach my daughter how to ride a bike, right? Like, so it's the, even the small things in life, your training adds value and can be a very, very, very significant way to show that you care about yourself and that you care about your family.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, longevity plays a massive role in that too. I think all, yeah, I mean, there are so many reasons why we train. This specific, I'm talking about the orientation in terms of competition, but it could be for anything that you're training for, and it's applicable in that situation. So I think that that's completely true. That's appropriate. Huge kudos to Avery for doing that. I saw that on the Instagram story. That was pretty sweet. So
she was hauling ass, dude. Like, she was moving.
Yeah, all gas, no brakes. It's the only way to do it. And so, yeah, just to round this out, I think that, like, sometimes even for people who – this is second nature to me. Like, I've been training a very long time in multiple disciplines and have accomplished a lot kind of in this realm. And sometimes it's still hard for me to get out for an easy run on a Saturday morning. And that is the reality. We all have to travel for work sometimes or whatever it may be. We all have things that come up. But those of us who want it most are going to find a way to get it done. And in this case, I was feeling sorry for myself. And, I remembered the bigger picture. So I think when you have long-term goals and you really execute on the process focus goals in the now, that's when you'll find true success in the process. So there is no August 24th or no Leadville for you without the process now. And one last thing is that I make a mistake often, and it's weird because I train and prepare athletes for incredible things. But I don't do a great job of preparing myself in a lot of ways. Like, I will say, okay, I've got 8 weeks to high rock, so I'm going to start preparing. And then I'm 4 weeks out and say, okay, I really need to start getting more reps in on the rower. I really need to start doing stuff on the ski erg. I really need to start doing sled pushes because I hate doing sled pushes. And so many times in the past, and luckily I've been able to limp into a few high rocks races and win them. I've been able to compete at a high level, but I've definitely underachieved because of that. And now I'm sitting 19 weeks out, and I thought about this. I was exactly 20 weeks out on this run on Saturday. 20 weeks out, does the run really matter? From a physical standpoint, no. For me, peaking for this race, no. But from the mental standpoint of saying, I'm committed to doing this, I'm committed to being ready to start my training block 16 weeks out, is a big thing. So I want to have the base necessary. So I need to do that. I need to be running 7.5 to 8.5 hours a week prior to that 16-week mark. And so this time around, I'm very, very focused on it. And I use the long-term goal and the long-term thinking to stress the importance of the here and now. And I think that more people, I encourage a lot of my athletes to do that. And I think that we need to make sure that we're doing that. No matter what your long-term goal is, it starts with the here and now. It starts with discipline. It starts with the resilience. It starts with that. So I left that run feeling so accomplished, even though it's such an easy thing for me, because I built more resilience. I built more determination. I showed my dedication. I showed some mental toughness to myself, right? And I proved those voices in my head when I left that stairwell in the hotel. I had these voices in my head saying, ah, oh, you shouldn't do it. Ah, oh, it's really windy. Ah, oh, man, every step is kind of just sore and your legs feel like they weigh 150 pounds each. But all those voices went away when I was done. Yeah. And I know that will suit me better in the race. It will suit me better in the training, and it will all be this really positive snowball effect.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that, man. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, there really truly is no finish line. And just because, you know, people like us have been doing this for a very long time, it doesn't get any easier. We still have to overcome hurdles in our training. We have to, you know, navigate life. And just the fact that sometimes we wake up and I just don't want to fucking run, but I guess I have to do it. I have to go train. I have to go lift. I have to run. I have to do something to put my body in a physically uncomfortable position to feel better about myself, truly, to be honest, like to feel better about what I'm doing for the rest of the day. Mentally, physically, I have to do something uncomfortable, even if it's just 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever I got. That's the time I got, right? So I have to live my life that way, and that's just the way I'm built, and I won't ever apologize for it.
Yeah, I mean, Arthur Blue, he's built different, and that's a lesson we can all take from this. But no, that's totally true. And I'll leave it with this. Leave this with a little bit of a meditation or something to think about. When you're on your next training session, to any of the listeners, or to me, or to you, Arthur, when you're on your next training session, think about how can you use that 30, 45, 60, 90 minutes that you have allocated for that training session. How can you use that to get better today? How can you maximize it? How can you grow from it? And how will it get you one step closer, one day closer, one session closer, to your ultimate goal? And when you can do that and when you can conceptualize that, I think that training session that you're in becomes really meditative. It becomes really powerful, and its purpose becomes really evident. And when that happens, I think that everything just becomes clear and you're ready to go. So think about how that session, meditate on it. How can it make you better? And then you feel the importance of it. And then you know that you're ready to maximize it because you're thinking long term, but you're doing it in a short term way.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that's a great place to end it. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to another Strong Session. If you found value in this content, please feel free to share, to rate us on wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And if you're not subscribed, please subscribe. We appreciate you guys. Without you, there is no us. And until next time, everybody, stay strong.